All right, please stand with me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, this is our second monthly meeting, May 24th, 2017, at 5:30. And on the agenda, are we all good on the agenda?
Yes.
And we do have an exec session?
Yes.
Decisions on the exec session?
No.
How long?
10 minutes.
10 minutes, okay.
I hope you approve the agenda.
Yeah.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Consent agenda. Everybody seen that?
Yes.
All good with that?
We're all good. I'm good, I mean.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. Public comments not related to the agenda. Bertram.
This is not the first time I've brought this up. Monday, it was actually no parking on DDOT. No parking at DDOT. Everybody was really upset. Workmen trying to come down. Weather's nice. Couldn't park and bring their tools down. People, I brought this up several times. Administration said, well, we'll talk to ACI about parking someplace else. But it's filled with their trucks. I'm happy that they're working and they're doing a beautiful job. But there really needs to be some protection for the tenants who've been there for so many years and are paying so much money to have parking there. I've suggested that, and I'd like to go on record, that I think it's a safety issue having that industrial facility there with all the recreational boaters carrying their stuff as well. Well, this is something you're yep. aware of. But I just have presented to the commission now because the administration doesn't seem to be staying on top of this. They have made some agreement. I wish they would do something about that. I know that you are having Reed Middleton redesign things, but in the interim, especially with the season coming up, where everybody's not at all, I mean, okay. I know you enjoy good parking.
Right.
Trailers have good parking. And we need a lot of money for our slips, and we should have ability to park.
Okay.
Okay?
Got
Can
it.
Can we do something about that?
Got it. We're on it, Bertram.
We'll work on it.
Okay.
I know.
All right. Yep. Public comment. Mr. Putney.
So I've been the recipient of some email from the Pilot Association. Once again, we'd like to remind the board that Port O's has offered to give pilots a briefing with the FAA and Middleton et al. There's rumbles in the jungle. So if you guys could work on that sooner than later, that would be appreciated.
Okay.
Isn't there a meeting on Friday?
There is a Pilots Association meeting on Friday, but I suspect that you won't be able to get the FAA and Reed Middleton there by then. So
yeah.
When you can get it done.
Okay. Anybody else? Meetings? Comments? Okay. Let's see, moving along. Second reading. We have nothing for second reading. First reading. First reading, we have nothing for that. And regular business acceptance of the commercial basin breakwater project. All right.
So, as you know, when we're required by state law to get a release from the various state agencies, LNI, DOR, and ESD, in order to finalize a project. Typically to release retainage, in this case we didn't have retainage because we had a bond, but we're still required to get those releases. And we got those releases, and now the final piece is to get the final acceptance permission that the project's complete.
Kenny, you listed a whole bunch of TLAs right then,
yeah.
And I didn't catch them all.
So Department of Revenue.
Okay.
LNI, Labor and Industries,
uh-huh.
And ESD, which is Employment Security Department.
Okay.
So they want to make sure that the contractor paid what they're required to pay. So that's basically why.
Well, I thought the project went very well, and it was managed extremely well, and they found some surprises they weren't aware of when they started, and it was, the changes were handled efficiently, and it really wasn't a change order, is my understanding. I mean, aside from the surprise once they started.
There was technically a change order, but it was at the very beginning, and we had anticipated that.
Yeah, so let's make a motion that we accept the project being complete.
Yeah, I'll second that. One comment before we vote. I think it's great that we actually had this problem because it gives us a baseline, you know, where we're at.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And it'll really add some data to what we're going to be up against as time goes on.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be back there.
Yes, we will be back there.
Sooner than later.
Yep.
I've been showing off the patch to all my fishing friends as we go by. It's so obvious.
Yeah.
Bright white green as opposed to everything else.
Right. Yep. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Staff comments.
Great. I actually have a number of things to report out on. Kind of a minor one, but one that I think is a sign of continuing relationship building with the city. And I've been asked to sit on the Lodging Tax Advisory Board, and so we're taking steps to do that. We, as the Port government, are one of the largest contributors to this fund, and as you know, the proceeds of this are used to support various tourism and promotions and things. So I will keep you apprised of that, but I'm pleased to be joining that.
Excuse me, who else sits on that? I thought that was just a city.
There are, this is what's known as a collector seat. And so since we are one of the major collectors of this tax, so, and I'm sorry, I can't tell you who else sits on there, but it is not just all city seats. So there are things, like I think, for example, I think Fort Worden PDA might sit on it as well.
Yeah, my understanding, they're required to have a certain number of different representatives, different types of parties.
You know, we were in attendance at the Washington Public Ports Association conference last week, and a couple big takeaways for me there were, first of all, I was at a session, it was regarding a number of different legal issues, and there was someone who was briefing on basically derelict, abandoned, impounded boats and obligations under place of refuge and safe harbor, and an attorney was explaining the rules and regulations of and obligations of the Coast Guard and various agencies, and I hear a voice in the back said, actually, that's not the way that it happens. And turned out to be our commissioner and chair, Hanke, who was there, brought up the point of, that's great, that is what is basically on the books, is how it is supposed to happen, but it is not what we experience. And I think that that opened up the conversation, just kind of, you know, cracked up to a lot of ports are experiencing.
At that point, every hand in the room shot up.
Every hand in the room shot up.
Yeah.
And really, I think that for better or worse, we are kind of at the forefront of grappling with this issue. And I think I'm just kind of, you know, I think we need to lean into it and help out all of our sister ports and help be a place that can really clarify the policy on it, because really this is a public policy and public impact that the ports are seen to bear the full brunt of the expense of it. And so as no, we've already met with our sheriff, and we are clarifying our procedures with them. So I think we're making headways on that. It was very clear that there is a great need for continued dialogue and perhaps clarification by state legislation, and we're certainly working with our federal agencies to make sure that their frontline people actually understand the front processes. So we will keep you apprised and maybe Commissioner Hankey will comment on that in his comments.
And so who's doing that? Is it WPPA leading that charge, or is something, what they met on it?
Another big thing, there was a Supreme Court ruling on SEPA and port leasing that came down this session, and we're all trying to suss out the impacts of that. I'll be working with Eric and Goodstein. The ruling, if I didn't, was fairly narrow, but the court went on to elaborate on some things that ports should make as part of their best practices. And so it may very well impact how we do our leases and what steps we take in the process. I don't have any recommendations for you at this point. I want to talk with counsel, both in-house and with Goodstein, about how it, if there is need to revamp our leasing policy. And the question at issue was that the Port of Vancouver had entered into a lease, and they were, a lawsuit was filed against them that they had not completed SEPA as part of that leasing process. And so it's an evolving point of law, and I think that, you know, we'll be trying to match our practices to it as best we can. Additional thing we learned there is that they, and this, we're tracking this with various, you know, tracking what's going on in the legislature, that curb funding for the next biennium is still uncertain, but of course the legislature just ended the special session and with no budget deal, so there are a lot of things that are still uncertain, but curb funding for the next biennium is one of them. We'll continue to express our interest on that. The next big thing I wanted to report out to you is on the stormwater project. And if you recall, we are we had committed to submitting a revised level 3 report by the end of this month, and we had a call with our engineering firm, and we are on track for that. And so we went over our the findings and recommendations that the engineers would be putting in, and there will be some differences from the workshop that I had presented, but the main gist of it is that we are going to work with our existing system, and we are going to kind of reset a lot of the flow structures. What we have found in investigating is that there's a lot of backwatering that happens in the system currently. There's been uncertainty as to which directions flow would go. There's also been a diversion of flows to the outfall without going through the treatment systems that we already had in place. So we were not getting any advantage for having the treatment systems there. So we've come up with a plan to readjust the hydraulics of the system, as well as then to be doing some regrading, and I'll talk about that in a moment. We will be updating the existing, they were originally put in as sand filters. We will be replacing that with a mixture of media, and we will also be looking at moving some of the treatment units around. We'll also then be looking at our sampling plan and protocol, and probably going back to the sampling just at the outfall. We believe that there's been some that we have not met the measure of having our samples be representative of our stormwater flow. I think that's the easiest way to say it. So we're putting a much more rigorous look at that sampling plan. And so at this point, we will be handing in the report. Ecology has committed to a 30-day turnaround to a review of that. We are going to be moving in parallel with that to proceed with Landau to have them actually move forward with the design of the system. So we've done the level 3 report, but there are still some design elements, but there's not a whole great level of effort in the room. We've already done a lot of the modeling and looking at the flows. There will be some specifications, materials, etc. We're putting together bid packages if we do go out to bid on all of the elements. So in all, and I want to caveat this number. There's a remember, this is a planning level estimate. However, we believe that the work, if it is put out to bid, and with engineering and design and construction included, and with a 25% contingency included, we believe we can accomplish the work for between $300,000 to $400,000. And if we use some in-house resources for that, it may be less than that. We're still working with, and we have lots of other things with maintenance group doing it as well. So we're going to be moving forward right away to amend the contract with Landau to work on those construction documents. We don't believe that there may be some additional treatment, like changes in media and things like that, that Ecology may come back to us with. We don't think that it'll change the plan radically in a way that we would have wasted the effort to go to construction drawings with it. So we'll be moving those two things in parallel. So by the time we get their comments back, by the end of June, we'll be able to just move forward right away with implementing those, then looking at that September 30th deadline. At the same time, I want to thank Ms. Mark Horton here. He came in.
Nice job.
Really, really good job of Mark and Landau and Greg and Larry and crew. We've had a lot of eyes on this system. And I think one of the big benefits of coming out of this is that our institutional knowledge of our system is much greater. And we are using this as an example, too, of really making sure that we have record drawings of what's installed, that those become the record drawings for the project. They are up to date. There we have one set of projects, one set of plans for the project, and that goes into our project file. And so we're working on updating our filing system. So one of the issues that we have run into is that there's not been a good system to really manage the paperwork behind a project. And so you end up with a lot of issues of version control of, like, was this the one that was built, or was this the one that was built? And we'll be very clear with this, and we'll kind of set the benchmark for how we're going to proceed with capital projects in the future. And it's where my engineering self and my librarian mother come together. very pleased with how this is proceeding, and I think it obviously represents a substantial savings to the organization. At the same time, and this is in, this next project is related to the stormwater, but it also has benefits for dust control and just general housekeeping of the yard, and that is, we are working to re-gravel the travel ways throughout the yard. And we believe we've been able to specify a gravel that has a very low fine and clay content to it, which we think really has added to the transport of metals, as well as some of the dust things. Is over time, the gravel is just going to get ground up by the lift. There's just no way to avoid that. And that's just, we're going to be plugging that into a regular maintenance program. However, getting a good compacted base down, I think will really help the dust problems, at least in the near term. It won't be a long-term solution, but you know, we will be able to program those out for the out years. Going to move forward with a combination of in-house and out-of-house resources to this. So our estimates is for the gravel itself is going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of $40,000. We will be going out for off our roster for that, and we're going to have that delivered on site. Then we're going to work with we're going to go out to bid for local contractors, or not to bid, for to request prices for operation of a grader and operator, and a roller and operator. They will then work side by side with our in-house crews to scarify the travel ways, grade them, have the gravel dumped, grade them, roll them out, get at least an 85% compaction, if not greater, on them, and have them drain to the catch basins. So we think that the most economical way to do that is with a combination of forces, because it's there's going to be some adjustments that we field adjustments that we need to do. So I think it'll also really help to educate both our yard and our maintenance crew to really have them understand how the drainage works in the yard. And I think this knowledge will then help our BMP enforcement and our general stormwater management. So I'm pretty excited about having our in-house forces work in conjunction with some outside forces coming in. And I think it's going to be very noticeable to our tenants. And I certainly heard a lot of comments about the impacts of dust since I've been here. And again, while it's not a cure-all for it, I think it will have a very positive impact. So just to be clear, and I think that, you know, each of these will be within the executive director's authority to authorize this work. And I want to be clear with the commission that the total will likely be over $50,000. I think that we're not purposely breaking this up to avoid that threshold. We have the materials, and then we have the labor to install it. But I wanted to make sure that you are all comfortable my proceeding with that. I think that it is in within the executive director's authority to do that.
Should we talk about it?
Yeah.
So when you said over 50, you're talking about everything all together, but does that mean that since we're having in-house and out of town and also materials, is mm-hmm. that going to be like double?
My planning estimate for the project entirely is $100,000. I think we'll come in below that, that's the combined total.
Why not just bring it up why not just have us vote on it?
You can authorize me to proceed with that. I mean, really, the authority is to go to contract with it, and that's why it's just because I'm going to buy materials in one hand. I'm going to contract with a contractor on the other hand. If you'd like to make a motion to say, yes, please proceed, that'd be fine. I bring it up just so that you're not surprised.
Can we do that outside of the agenda? No, it's not the agenda like that.
I believe so.
How about the... are we removing the fines that are there now? Or
we are going to be removing some material, particularly right. around the washdown pads and the existing structures. And so we will be removing some material and likely either stockpiling them on site or using them, like, for example, back in the long-term storage area. So we don't anticipate hauling any material off-site. Do anticipate that we'll be excavating around some of the structures, both to help us set grade as well as to just make sure that we're getting a good compaction on those travel ways and up against those structures.
So the material's clean enough to recycle it?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good.
Yep. So
good place for it over there too.
Yeah, and I think that We don't have an exact schedule for that yet, but we're going to be moving ahead with this pretty rapidly. We'd like to get this done in June. So we already experienced the windstorm yesterday. The fines are already starting to kick up.
Mm-hmm. So is this if we wanted to just give you the authority, would this be an immediate action thing?
It could. I mean, I think you could just recognize that. I'm informing you just so that you're not surprised and going, hey, wait a minute, you add this and this together and have any questions about it. So I really don't think that you need to give me authority. I think that just really exists within the executive director. So I just wanted to make sure that you weren't surprised.
And we're all good.
Great. We are going to be, we did get notice from CURB that we are good to go with Point Hudson planning, so we've given Maul Foster the notice to proceed, though we are not yet under contract with her, but I know it's basically coming in any time, and they've given us a go-ahead on it. So we're starting initial stakeholder scheduling, and one of the ideas that we are going to be working on, and this actually came out, I was inspired by one of the WPPA conference sessions that I went to on building relationships between cities and ports, and particularly the port of Richfield, which had worked with the city of Richfield a lot on waterfront redevelopment. And as we look to proceed, I think it's really important to get the electeds and board members of particularly the city, our commission, and the Maritime Center together in a room, and just to start to get to know each other and how each other think and think about Point Hudson. So we're going to be working to put together a joint team building session. It will be an open meeting because of the two government entities, but we won't be accepting public comment or public interaction with that. So we expect that to take place sometime in June. We likely will not get everybody in attendance because of that. We'll try to get as many people as we can, and it'll most likely be an evening meeting. So stay tuned on that. Kimberly's going to be working on putting that together, and it'll kind of start help kick off this relationship building as we tackle the issues ahead of us with Point Hudson.
And that was with the city and us, or
city a commission, and we are reaching out to the county. It's I think having some participation there, and as Kate Dean regularly reminds us, District 1 is her district. However, they're not a regulatory or land use authority in this process whereby the city is. So we'll reach out to her for sure. I've also been invited to do a presentation along with other folks at City Council meeting on June 5th. Commissioner Tucker, I'm hoping that you can attend that as well. And they're just looking for a preview of other projects that we are working on. City Manager David Timmons is really trying to get the other entities that do projects in the area, be it transit or PUD or the port, to come in and brief the City Council so they know what we're up to. And I have one thing on here. Airport meeting. I have been in contact with several people from the Jefferson County Pilots Association. They did invite us to the meeting this Friday. I declined that invitation on a holiday weekend, and also told them that, informed them that, we are working at getting under contract with both FAA and and Reed Middleton, and that we are not there yet, and that when we are there, we will work to schedule that open house. Also reminded them that the construction is not happening until 2019, and so we have limited staff, and just we will get there. Have not forgotten our promise to have such a meeting, and it's not the highest priority for us right now. And then last but not least, did want to inform you that per the commission's direction at the last regular meeting, the staff began working on gathering information regarding to the development of an industrial development district, and that during this process we did discover that the Port of Port Townsend did avail itself of this levy authority in 1966 or 67. So 67.
Resolution passed in 66 and the levy beginning 67.
So the resolution was passed by the Port Commission at that time. Taxes were collected for that we have record of at least 1 year that it was collected. It's estimated that the levy rate was 2 cents per $1,000 of valuation. It's estimated that $240,000 were collected over a 6 year period, and that those proceeds were used to work on Port Hudson Jetty as well as Mats Bay. And Because of this, because we've already used that levy once, that in order to use it a second time, we do need to put a public notice out there. That notice would have needed to go out by April 1st in order for us to proceed with the process for using 2017 as our base year. So at this point, I'd like to just inform you that staff will not be proceeding with this, as since we've missed that deadline. We will we can either, continue to move forward and say we will work on it in 2018 as the base year, with 2019 being the year that we begin a collection, or we could go back and at the beginning of next year, I could ask you for a new motion to proceed with that. But basically just to let you know that we're not going to be able to move forward with it this year, and we will pick it up at the commission's direction for next year. I told you it was a little lengthy today.
Yeah. Greg?
So I was off for almost the past week, so I don't have a whole lot, but I was working on with executive director and our maintenance manager and yard manager on the stormwater project, and we're working on the utilities implementation and reconciliation of billing, and so I met with a number of tenants just delves in the details and trying to work through that. And in Quilcene, we're finishing up on the men's room. Get that, they've got that torn apart now, so that'll be finished in the very near future, hopefully maybe this week. And then we're going through the whole process, working through the lease audit and file formatting, getting all those files put together, and that's moving forward, which is good. The RV park's doing really well, and they had a number of groups come through there. I wasn't here for the Roadie Fest, so I couldn't tell you how it went, but it sounded like it went okay for the most part. And then the yard is seeing a number of the vessels are cycling through here. So they're spending a little bit of money, some of the sand sanders especially. You'll see quite a number of them out in the yard now, but they're pretty much kind of doing the shaving and haircut for the most part, and then heading north. That's about it.
In addition to just working on communications and messaging with all the projects that we're talking about, I just wanted to extend my thanks to the commission as well as the port for allowing me to go to my first WPPA conference. It was a fabulous learning experience as well as networking opportunity. Unlike Mr. Anglin, I was at the parade on Saturday.
I was at a different parade.
I bet you were. but it's my understanding this is probably the first time in quite a while that the port has participated in the parade, so just wanted to thank you for your participation and would encourage that we do this again next year, perhaps look at expanding the incorporation of members from the port. So it's just a great way to celebrate the community and make sure we were out there and have an opportunity to talk to
you. Sam already discussed the notice to proceed with respect to the Point Hudson development strategy. And we're pulling together existing conditions information for them, and are expecting to have kind of our first project teleconference with staff next week after the long holiday weekend. It's a very aggressive timeline, but we're ready to get rocking and rolling on that. Still working on the big tier two application that was kind of a preliminary application that we referred to some weeks ago, but the actual big deadline, no pun intended, for RCO is July 5. So we have a lot of work to do in terms of control and tenure documentation and other attachments to the application to complete by early July. And then somewhat in response to the comments and concerns raised by Bill during public comment, we're not yet under contract yet with either Reed Middleton or the FAA for the runway rehab project. I mean, we're almost there, and we're expecting to be there in June. But once we are under contract, both the FAA and with Reed Middleton, we'll be able to schedule that meeting more definitively and report back to the folks who are concerned out at the airport. Circling back just very briefly with respect to the jetty, just to let you know that we are moving ahead with a contract with Mount McDonald Coast and Harbor Engineering to get us to 100% design We've had a prior contract with them. We did go through qualifications-based selection process internally off the roster and assess them against criteria and determined that they were the best fit to move forward with the rest of the engineering. So we'll be coming to you with a contract for that work in the very near future because we need to get that completed. Similarly, we're moving ahead with an HPA permit with the assistance of Sea Run Consulting, and we'll hopefully in the near future be doing some test borings or either pile driving to gather better data so that we can get bid ready and have no surprises later on. So that's about it for now, other than the daily churn.
There you go. Debbie, anything for you?
Just been wrapping up the annual report. Got the financial statements completed. Got the notes completed. About halfway through the management discussion analysis. So I'm hoping to have that submitted this year.
Sue?
Yeah.
And I'm just working a lot on the new filing system.
A new filing system?
Well, yeah, a new filing system and electronic filing.
We're changing it?
It's just going to be a lot more organized than it has been in the past.
Oh.
Yeah.
No more rooms full of boxes.
Probably still have some room full of boxes, yeah. But it'll be a little bit easier to retrieve.
We might know what's in the boxes.
There you go. So when you say new filing, is it all still going to be papers? Scan
well, the document of record is where it's created, and if it's created electronically, that's actually the document of record. If you copy it, it's just a copy. Mm-hmm. So we won't need to make a lot of copies unless it comes in, like something comes in as a document from the outside that's paper copy, that's the original. So the original is the record, document of record. But some files, like project files, we might have paper copies too, just for reference. But yeah, it's kind of a moving between electronic filing and paper filing is kind of
tricky, bro.
Balance, yeah.
Okay, so we've circled back around to public comments.
I'm not Seth.
Oh, Seth, do you want to make a comment on anything?
Sure.
Passed you right up. Sorry, Seth.
Well, in the Mark Landry appeal, it's the day after his appellate brief was due, and this is his, I think, second extended deadline. That appears to have stalled again. We'll see how the court wants to handle that.
Okay.
And the discussions with the other side of the SMA derelict vessel issue continue.
But they have a deadline coming up, right?
They've probably filed just enough to avoid a deadline or an adverse result is a result of missing that deadline.
So that means it can just linger on for a while.
Possibly.
Yeah. Okay.
So is the SMA still in denial?
Maybe we should say that for executive session. But I have some impressions
Okay.
I can share.
Anything else?
No.
Okay. Public comments. There was a hand up in the back. Yes.
Gary Lantern, do I need to go to a podium or something?
Yeah, you better, Gary.
All right.
Let us have it both barrels.
You bet.
Can you spell your last name, please?
Sure. It's Lanthrum. I am the only candidate for president of the Jefferson County Pilots Association, and I suspect that this Friday I will be stuck with the actual title rather than just the candidate title. I appreciate the comments that Sam and Eric made about the status of contracting for runway rehabilitation. The Pilots Association's concerns are that we're proceeding with a contract for a scope of work that hasn't been clearly identified as needed yet. And I haven't seen the contract or anything that you're working on, but if it's a contract to study actual repaving of the airport, we think that's premature and believe that it ought to be a study of, or a contract for a study of what needs to be done to the airport. Repaving might be one of the options. We believe there might be other options that would be more appropriate given the current state of the runway condition. I actually walked the runway today and took a bunch of pictures of it, compared it to pictures that were taken in 2012 when the last survey was done. Really hasn't changed visibly. And the PCI index, which is used to determine what needs to be done to airports is a purely visual inspection. There's no structural aspect to it. So I would hope that whatever contract is being proceeded with by the port to do a study incorporates a range of options and isn't focused exclusively on pushing towards repaving if that really isn't necessary.
And I'm planning to be there.
Excellent, excellent. And I've got a full presentation I'll be doing on both what the FAA rules are, what their guidelines are, what their standards are, what the state has done, and what the port's responsibilities are. And you'll be armed with all that after you see the presentation. And after I give it, it'll be up on the JCPA website.
Great.
Thanks.
Thanks, Gary. So I have a question in regards to what Gary's bringing up here. I mean, a lot of the data that's been presented are just estimates on regards to usage and so on over the number of years and and compared to FAA standards with usage. And we don't have any idea how many takeoffs and landings happen out there. And I just, why don't we? I mean, why? How come we don't have a counter out there just that records?
Not only that, but when the survey was done, they actually tracked what the wear and tear is due to. 0% of the wear and tear was due to actual operations. It was all due to weather.
Okay, but so, my question is, how come we don't have a counter? I mean, that wouldn't cost as much of anything, and if that's something that's going to be a key element in regards to what the FAA is requiring, then why not put one in?
Sure. Yep. Good. And we may have some additional recommendations for you after our meeting, because it's not going to be just a presentation meeting. It'll be a discussion among the pilots about what we think might be needed and how we believe we should go about it. Thanks.
Anybody else? There were a couple of hands out there. Dwight.
Clay White from Quill Scene, representing Linger Longer Improvement Committee. We had a question about the conundrum, but I hear that that's being addressed. And we wanted to know if the port has come to some kind of agreement with county about maintenance of the roads or in parking lots. I noticed the county was down there today and paved a strip in the middle of the street. And right next to that, in the parking lot next to the marina, there's some huge craters there. And I was wondering, how is that going to dealt? Is the county going to do any of that? Or I was listening to the presentation about what was going to happen out here. Why couldn't we get some of that gravel down there put in and compact at the same time?
Yep.
And the other
you want to respond to that, Craig? Say anything on that as far as
life? I will. I've not had a formal conversation with the county. I know that the county is obligated to only work within their right-of-way, and the right-of-way does not encompass all of our parking area. We can enter in sometimes into an interlocal agreement with County Roads Department or Public Works Department to have them perform some services. There are some things that as a public agency you need to be mindful of whether it's maintenance, whether it is actual construction, and what the obligation is to put it out to bid, or whether to do an interlocal, because it's not quite as simple as just asking the county to perform a service for us, though they're certainly willing to have that conversation with us. My understanding is that the area was regraded in preparation for the shredding season, and we have not had a roller down there. That's just when we don't have a roller, and to get one down there, I think could alleviate some things, but we do want to look at potentially having a chip seal of the area eventually, and that will take us a bit of time to figure out. So, but I think that's probably a better solution than kind of the annual regrading. And but we have regraded it in the interim, which is I think been the regular practice.
Well, we wanted to thank the work for coming down and doing all the work that it has been back up to the semblance of normalcy. One of the problems, the only other thing I wanted to point out was that there is kind of a washout crater on the beach. I think it can be fixed rather easily, and I'd like to work with the board and see if we can devise some way to get that done.
Clay, why don't you give me a call? I'm actually going to be out the rest of the week, but give me a call next week and we can talk about that. I want to know a little bit more about it, but we can have a conversation about that. Okay, and in our main number, you can call and Sue will put you through, and or get a time scheduled. Either we can have a call on the phone, or you can come up, or we'll get something on the calendar.
Yeah, it'd be nice. I'd love to meet with anybody that wants to come down.
Okay.
Got some good ideas, I think.
Great.
Yeah, it would be good to see what you're talking about there.
Sure. Okay.
Keith?
I've got some important dates. The 16th is the end of the school year party, mm-hmm. as you guys know.
Yep.
And I'm wondering if we go down there and clean it up just a little bit, maybe special commission thing, or we just go down there.
We've got that on. We've been working with.
We were down there today doing much more work. So.
Yeah, we've been coordinating with folks on that, and we'll plan on being there as well as taking care of some other tasks.
June 3rd.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Those are 2 days.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mostly worried about the kids stuff.
So. Yep.
Yeah.
Keith, is there a set time for that end of the school?
It's usually about, I'll get more of a set.
It's 12 to 4.
Yeah.
I got that from Brian and Linda. At Quilsey. Yeah.
Brian, that's who we've been working with, right?
That's Brian one. Barker, yeah.
Yeah.
What's the time again?
12 to 4.
How did the last shrimp opening go?
It went really well.
Okay.
The Pinco, I brought a boat in there just to look at things and everything, but it was everybody's going to the fuel dock to pick up people. They launch
right.
people, and yeah, everybody eats right at the fuel dock, so it's kind of interesting. There you go. I saw it was from the water area this time, so yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a good idea.
It was pretty good. It was,
yeah.
The shrimping was horrible. I'm supposed to pay, but everything else was
that's good. Weird. Yeah.
Yeah.
Saw a lot of. I was just up in the islands. I saw a lot of pots up there.
Yeah. Yeah. It was nothing to cool seeing back day work shrimps.
Yeah. Any other public comments? Yes.
Melinda.
Brian.
I can see where the institutional knowledge is going to be really important. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She didn't know that there's 67 IDD. Well, you kind of glossed over that a little, Sam, because how is that going to impact the budgeting for these projects that we've been talking about, especially Point Hudson and the rest of the maintenance plan? Mm-hmm. And, of course, for me, it's the economic development that we should be getting mm-hmm. out of this. So, I can
talk about that in comments. I was going to mention it. Any other comments? Public comments? Going, gone. Okay. Commissioner comments.
I'll go. Hey, I brought back a few different notes from the, I mean, all of the things that, this was an amazing conference. There was a lot of stuff, and all the stuff they said was, I won't repeat, but one thing that I found that, and I went to different presentations than a lot of you guys did, but practically every presentation I went with, I got hit with broadband. Everyone is talking
yeah.
about how important broadband is. In two regards, broadband is crucial to getting the economic development of the region going, but it's also a good revenue generator for ports, and also ports have the authority to do it. And so, a new thing is that the ports have figured this out, and so there's 12 ports that have joined together to become a broadband coalition. They're working on lobbying and working together to figure out how to do this thing. And the reason they're doing it is because, as you know, PUDs have a similar capability, except it's a little bit different, and I'm not sure exactly in the details what the difference is. But several PUDs have started down this road and stopped, and so the ports ended up taking it over. And there is a partner that's been helping them in CenturyLink. Without CenturyLink, I say it wouldn't go very far. But the thing that was the big takeaway for me was how crucial it was, and how people have tried it, and you just have to persevere. And so I know that I've been going to a couple of PUD meetings to figure out if they're going to be doing it, and they're going through the steps. I'm starting it. I don't know if you've seen in your a mailer, whether it's they're taking a survey, they're trying to get the feelers out to see what kind of capacity is out here, what kind of demand there would be, and what kind of appetite there would be for prices and speeds and so forth. And I thought about this a lot because there's two things that it can do. It can bring economic development, and that's kind of our charge, but it also can bring revenue. And of course, I really like revenue, but then I got thinking that, you know, this is the county. If the PUD gets revenue, then our rates are low. And so it really doesn't make any difference to me who gets it. I think the most important thing is to ensure that it gets done. And I'm not really sure how to proceed with that. I'm thinking that I'm going to continue to go to some PUD meetings to see what the progress is being made on it and see if they need any help, and if so, bring it back to us. I think that's the one thing I learned was that broadband is this thing that people of different communities have said that they thought they were doing okay until it came, and then they realized how much in the dark ages were. So,
and maybe you end up with, like, what we're talking about with City and Maritime Center, we'll do a joint session with...
Exactly, with PUD.
So was there any discussions why some of the PUDs had failed or dropped the ball? I mean, what compelled them to stop pursuing? There was no discussion about that. I mean, I was really curious about that. I mean, because that's strictly under their purview. I mean, why stop?
Yeah, it's interesting because our purview is both. We both have this authority. There's some difference, and I really couldn't discern what that difference was. I couldn't get anyone to really articulate it for me. But there's a little difference in our authorities. Neither one of us can retail yet, but there's a legislation going that will perhaps allow that to change. But for that. But I think, like I said, to me, the big takeaway was that it's crucial to get it done, regardless of who does it. You know, we can be the primary, we can be the secondary pusher.
And I heard there was going to be a lot more discussion about this at Small Ports Conference.
Yeah.
It was going to be one of the main.
And then back on another one I heard about that was interesting, we've heard Bob Hasegawa talk about a state bank in previous commissions, and he's got a, Lisa Wellman now is on that bandwagon, she's also pushing a state bank, but in conjunction with this, we heard about ports that have excess money, that are just sitting around, that they're going to start loaning it, or they're going to start working on it.
Not our problem.
Yeah, not our problem. Well, it could be a solution. Anyway, they're going to start working on making it available, and there's three roads you could do, the really hard, complicated legislative one, the middle-of-the-road banking one, and then the one that Cynthia Weed might just do by herself and just get together with memos of understanding. That's something I found fascinating going forward as far as funding.
Did everybody hear what he was talking about? Everybody get, so there are ports like Camas Washougal that have a lot of cash sitting in the bank, kind of like Apple. And so they're looking to do something with that money, and they could actually lend that to ports that need cash. So that's what we're talking about doing. Pardon?
Well, I just said for breakwaters.
Breakwaters, exactly.
Potentially, yeah.
Potentially.
And then one other thing that I thought was interesting, my last takeaway was, when I was in the environmental committee meeting, I realized that I didn't know this, but you have to have a 10-year forecast submitted to ecology if you want to ever have any hope of securing MOTCA funds. And we don't really have any MOTCA projects right now that I can think of, but I think it's kind of like a comprehensive scheme. You anticipate what possibly come up, and you put this on a document that you give to ecology, so they say, okay, you've been thinking about this, and so now we have some funding available, and you're in line. You've been, and I'm not sure if we have that, but the thing that I thought was interesting was that they said that the ones that are most successful are the ones that have been submitted jointly with the city and the county. In other words, you say, we've got this issue. It could be an old gas station or a mill that went away or something. And we would like to be on record as saying that we're interested in cleaning that up. And if we just say it ourselves, that's one thing. If we get the city and the county to say we're interested in having the port clean it up too, that's way better. But you also have to have that thing there at ecology so that they know about it. It's because microfunding is so precarious. So those are a couple of things I thought we might want to look into.
Commissioner Chuck, there are a couple different lists that are maintained by Department of Ecology, and there are various sites throughout the county that are contained on there, and including there are some port properties that are identified, not necessarily as in need of cleanup, but as potentially in need of cleanup. So then that's Kipper's Lake, you know, it's not necessarily an environmental risk, but could be. And I think the other important thing to note is that the MACA fund is basically unfunded at this point, largely due in part to the dip in tax revenue because of the oil sales or oil revenue in the state, so our petroleum products. So yes, we're aware of those. There and there are ways that you can kind of get ranked higher on the list, and the kind of the corollary need to that is to continue to impress upon the legislature the need for funding that account, and so far that's been not been successful this session. So.
Now it was successful in the last session in the last minute, so it could still happen. But and that's what he was hoping again this year. But the reason I brought it up is I thought, well, I'm not sure if we have those lists. Perhaps we have, but I'm pretty sure we haven't talked to the city or the county, which might be a good thing to get a cohesive. Rather than just a single yeller voice.
Right. And just a reminder as well is our integrated planning grant request for $200,000 remains in the capital budget, though that capital budget has kind of remained unchanged in the public throughout the special session. Should that actually survive and make it into the capital budget, that is actually kind of a subset of the MOTCA funding, but we're asking for a special appropriation for that, for our project, which would then again be identifying of potential contamination in the boatyard, as well as coupling that with business development planning. So it's an important source of funding for ports throughout the state.
Okay, so anyway, that's all I had. I'll let Brad ask about the COB.
No, I think that's a kind of motion. I just to let you guys know, I met with the boring installation contractor, and depending on how many, if we do it and how many we put in, somewhere is between $3,000 and $3,400 per mooring. These are the embedment system, and depending on the substrate, the anchors will go in either at 8 to 12 feet.
Is this on the front of town?
Potentially over here as well. So the next step is I need to lay out specific coordinates. Hopefully I'm going to work with Jake as well as the rowing club in determining what's going to work out best for everybody involved. So it's not no impediments on any kind of traffic. Apparently there were some issues before with the rowing club having park burn over some mooring locations. But at any rate, the system is it's a pretty impressive system. It's very robust. Very low maintenance, actually. Once it's installed, it doesn't require a diver to maintain it, and it can be done from a surface vessel. And he's with his experience in putting in mooring fields and high traffic areas and areas that get a lot of wave action like this out here. He's 2 to 3 years. You're going to need to get a boat out there, and it's like again done from the surface, where the buoy and the chain and swivels and so on is all loaded on deck and inspected and then changed out if need be. But
can you do that from the surface?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the system, it's a double braid nylon that goes down to the embedment anchor, and there's really very little movement down there, if any. Then it goes up to midline float, and then there's enough length on that pendant to allow a surface vessel to pick up the buoy and the chain and the swivels and so on, and bring that up to the connection. That's where it connects to the double braid nylon. There's the only thing you'd have to deal with, potentially the double braid nylon is the swivel or the thimbles do wear eventually, and that can be replaced from the surface as well. So he estimates the systems they're putting in there, they're getting about 20 years out of them, as far as the nylon pendant going down to the embedment anchor, and the embedment anchor is it's lasts indefinitely, essentially. Unless something bad happens to it. But that size of system, up to about a 50-foot boat, in a pretty good blow, safely. So
save some boats at the wooden boat festival, right?
Yeah, and oh, the other interesting thing, and Steve, you'd like to hear this, I think, is they're getting DNR and Fish and Wildlife approval to put these directly in eelgrass beds.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
They don't have to be outside the eelgrass beds. Mm-hmm. So, you know, depending on how, what makes sense to, you know, for the appropriate mooring field, and they're figuring a maximum of 4 buoys per acre as far as having appropriate swing distance and so on. That's like the most concentrated it can be. So I'm kind of looking forward to working.
That's cool.
This may be kind of a dumb question, but if you have your maximum density of 4 buoys per acre, that means that the only mooring out there is going to be on those buoys. Not somebody's going to come in and try to sneak an anchor down in the middle. Does that doesn't happen, right? Or will that happen at some point?
Well, you know, I mean, unpredictability of what some, you know, some people might do, but,
I've never used mooring fields, and so I don't know if people figure that out, that if things are going to swing and will bang into each other, or if it just they just worked out without doing that.
Well, yeah, I mean, somebody comes in and anchors inappropriately like that and causes an issue or damage, then they're liable. You know, but
and then we're the ones that are monitoring it, then, right? Since we're charging for the buoy.
Well, that's something whoever is doing. Jake and I had just some brief conversations about this, but potentially we could work out some kind of partnership with the Maritime Center to manage the mooring field once it's installed.
So did you look at the area down there by the other side of the breakwater, where the new, and that's going to be included then?
Well, perhaps, you know, I mean, it's right now, we got to start somewhere. And so what makes the most sense, I mean, we certainly, there's enough room between the ferry dock and Point Hudson to do 20 buoys right there alone if necessary. But, you know, it comes down to how much money, you know, are we willing to invest in something that's going to be, are we going to ever get our, you know, return on investment anytime soon, you know, as Sam put it, you know, a loss leader type of thing. And there's other benefits, you know, to consider as well.
One of the reasons I brought that up is that the success we had a couple meetings ago has kind of gone away. The guy that was there for most of last year is back out there again. And so, I mean, since it's DNR, making them try to deal with it.
You know, I just talked to Bridget today about that, just because, as I told you, there's other issues going on down there where I'm at, too. And as you already know, funding is an issue, but their boat has been absconded with, so to speak, by another agency.
Oh.
And that's been part of the problem. But she said they're getting their boat back next week.
Uh-huh.
What about getting Jason Avery called?
And she has been. They're in direct contact with Officer Avery, and he's been quite active and working on the problem. So,
yeah.
Is this part of a budget? Is this budgeted?
The buoys?
Yeah.
No, we're just talking about it.
No, we're just talking about it, and just the permitting alone, going through the permit process. If the port does do something like this, it's more than a year out.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen this year, no way. That's it.
Okay. Kind of going back to conference, so just talk a little bit about, you know, we go to the Washington Public Ports Association conference. There are 2 conferences, spring and fall, and there's several others interspersed for commissioners or staff. And sometimes people will say, well, why do you go to these conferences and what do they do and so forth? And particularly the derelict vessel thing is a really good example of, so the Washington Public Ports, they've got a bit of a war chest, and they're a political animal, and they live in Olympia, and we have, the head of it is Eric Johnson. He's been around the horn a little bit. And so as we got into this derelict vessel issue, it was obvious that the lawyers that they had brought in to do this seminar didn't have a clue what was going on really on the ground. They were just doing it from a strictly a rulemaking situation. They'd gone and looked at what is the Coast Guard's responsibility, what is DOE's responsibility, and so as they started reeling this off, and we started having a discussion about, well, that's not really what's going on. I mean, when you call the Coast Guard, they don't do anything. They just hang up on you. And so it kind of unraveled from there for them. But the cool thing is they're on it now. So this is pretty high-power lawyers in Seattle. And who was that, Piper Jaffray?
Lane Powell.
Lane Powell, yeah. And so they are going to research this out and come back to us with some solutions of how we are going to bring the feds into this situation. And so that's just a really good example of, you know, why the WPPA, if you're into ports and you're doing port business, that's a really kind of a really important tool to have in your toolbox. And the other one is you've got a lot of people that are doing a lot of things for ports in one spot, so you can sit and talk to them really quickly. For instance, I did talk to Tristan Atkins at WASDOT, and we did talk about the airport runway project. I haven't even talked to you, Eric, about this. So, but there are some issues that we could look at there. And so I'm not saying that there are any solutions the pilots will like or the port will like, but there are some issues that we can talk about, particularly pertaining to landings and how that works with the study. So got to, you know, he's there, so I got to sit down and talk to him. And the other one was the IDD situation, where we found out while we're at conference last week that we had this old IDD from 67, which really did change up, you know, a lot of what's going on that wall right over there and what we had talked about at the workshop. And so we were able to sit down with Alan Dash and our bond counsel, get some numbers from Abby while we were at conference, Sam and I were, and kind of get some assurances that, you know, we're good to go. We can get through this year and next year with what we've got for bond capacity. And I think one of the things that's really important to remind everybody that, and we had a bond, this was a real put you to sleep quickly meeting, you know, how do the bond rating services work? We had a guy from, was it Moody's?
Yeah,
from San Francisco that actually showed us how they rate bonds, right? So there's a real eye opener. But what's pretty cool is you got to be pretty sharp to have a triple A, triple plus rated bond, triple A plus rated bond, which is what the Port of Port Townsend has. So that really gives us flexibility to do things like sit down with Alan and say, okay, we're in a little bit of a pickle. Do we have enough to cover us? And I'm being really general because I can't talk specifics, but we do. So we'll tell you more to come, keep you posted on that. But it wasn't like there were giant red flags going up that, oh, we got to stop the breakwater project. We can keep the breakwater project going and remain solvent. We're just going to have to readjust our cash flow project in terms of bringing in IDD. Does that answer your question a little bit?
A little bit.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know. And we'll get specific for you.
There'll be more to come.
Yeah, we'll give you the specific.
That's good to hear. There's not that much of a problem.
Yeah, right. So the conferences are a cost. There is an expense to them, but boy, they're sure helpful when you really got to get down and sit down and talk to the right people. But, yeah.
I'm smiling because the chairman is doing his job and being optimistic. We will continue to work the issues.
Yeah.
Because that will max out the bond capacity.
We'll be laying it more out more in more detail. And honestly, we're still just kind of readjusting with the so.
Okay, and so with that, Bill.
Just a quickie. So I know, I think Brad last meeting and Sam in conversation, there's some real concern about that breakwater at Point Hudson and whether or not we'll make it through another winter. Has the staff working on a plan B for?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Good. Yeah.
We don't have it formulated yet, but we are working on it.
Yeah. All right, so that will adjourn, and we're not actually adjourning. We'll move into executive session for 10 minutes, and we're talking about legal issues.
No decisions.
This is pursuit.